Let your spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart.
Father, I pray for forgiveness. I pray for a cleansing, Lord, upon this whole congregation, upon my life. I pray for encouragement this morning. Lord, help me to be obedient to what You would have me do right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm really struggling with something right now. And I don't know what to do. So, I got a sermon here, but I don't think I'm going to preach it. I heard something this week, and I just kind of read over it real quick, but there was a phrase that really stood out to me. And so I had to look it up and see where it came from, and I came across a blog. I hope it's okay, but we might be done here in about 5 minutes, or we might take all morning, but I'm not going to preach. You know, when we come to church, like I said a few weeks ago, we put on our happy, smiling faces, but I know there's people hurting this morning. I know that it's real. It's not something that's real problems. It's real life. It's not just something that you know they have blown out of proportion. Please don't. I have not read and studied this closely, so if there's error in it, please don't throw rocks at me. But some of this I really liked, and so I'm just going to talk to y'all about it, okay? It says, the theme of discipleship is among those that I hold closest to my heart. Ever since I chose to take that path a little over 10 years ago, it is a rough and tough road, and several times I've paused to sit down a while, probably on a millstone or a ponder seat, to wonder at my snail-paced progress to reach my destination. And then it has Philippians 3, 7 through 14. I've not looked up the verses. Like I said, I just barely read through this. It says, but I rejoice to think that we are never alone on the narrow path, because our Lord promised to be with us all along. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age, Matthew 28:20. As I'm reading this and I'm thinking, have any of y'all ever been on the path and you think, wow, this is just hard. It's heavy and it's tough, and you know, you feel rejection, you feel joy at times, and you feel rejection at times, and then you feel like the burdens are so heavy. How can I carry it? But you know, the Lord says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, Lord, if that's true, why is all this on me? Why do I feel the weight of the world? And here it says, you know, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so Jesus is here, but you know, sometimes even when Jesus is there and you know He's there, it's still tough. You know, when people's going through stuff, sometimes you can't help. Sometimes all you can do is sit there. You don't have words. You can't fix it. You can just sit there. It says, in this post, I'm inclined to share about an emerging yet disturbing trend in Christendom. Is how it, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It says, even in the city of Hyderabad, where I live, I guess that's the name of the city, where Christians claim to be devoted followers of Christ without desiring to pay the price. Regarding this, Billy Graham said, salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything we have. Calvin Miller coined the term Christaholic to describe a section of Christians. And that's what I heard on a sermon this week, the word Christaholic. I'd never heard it before. And they said this little thing that I'm about to read to you, and that's what got my curiosity up and why I looked this up. It says, I'm sharing this quote on what he calls the difference between Christaholics and disciples. Disciples are cross-bearers. They seek Christ. You hear that? Disciples are cross-bearers. They seek Christ. Christaholics seek happiness. Disciples dare to discipline themselves, and the demands they place on themselves leave them enjoying the happiness of their growth. Christaholics are escapists, looking for shortcuts to nirvana. Like drug addicts, they try to bomb out of their depressing world. Christ is not a happiness capsule. He's the way to the Father. But the way to the Father is not a carnival ride in which we sit and do nothing while we're whisked through various spiritual sensations. So I'm reading this and I'm thinking of how many people do try to take the shortcut and not willing to pay the price. While doing more research on this term, I found an interesting explanation by a blogger who expanded on Miller's definition quoted above. She writes, Christaholics, using Miller's definition, only care about their own happiness. What matters to them is escaping their crappy life by using inspirational Jesus quotes in worship service to recharge their batteries and give themselves spirit highs. And it is most certain true that many people in our pews are like that. It is sad to note that Miller's observation is a growing reality in my part of the world and in my country, India. Here's the true essence of following Christ, and the cost it involves to following Him is being replaced by false assurances that are totally contrary to the demands of being Christ's disciples. It is common to hear phrases like, Jesus is my drug and Jesus is my potion, from Christian youth today who claim to love Jesus with all their heart. My 21-year-old recently mentioned that one of his schoolmates unabashedly states that Jesus is his drug. In this post, I chose to borrow the term Christaholic to distinguish between those who choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ on the path of discipleship and those who don't. Even in Jesus' time, many followed Him from a distance, while there were only a handful who actually followed Him all the way. Many found His teachings too difficult to swallow and too tough to follow. They were content to listen to His sermons and receive His healings and deliverance and were in awe of His miracles that He performed. However, very few from among them stuck around till His ascension to heaven. To weed out the Christaholic from His true followers, the Lord set His expectations early on, as mentioned in the Gospels, Mark 8:34-37. Then He called the crowd to Him along with His disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? And then in Luke 14:25-27, it says, a large crowd followed Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison, your father and your mother, your wife and your children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciples. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. I'm putting Christ above all else. Let me quote a leading authority on the theme of Christian discipleship. If the closest relationship of life clash with the claims of Jesus Christ, he says, it must be instant obedience to himself. Discipleship means personal, passionate devotion to a person. Our Lord Jesus Christ, there is a difference between devotion to a person and a devotion to principles or to a cause. Our Lord never proclaimed a cause. He proclaimed personal devotion to himself. Many of us who call ourselves Christians are not devoted to Jesus Christ. No man on earth has this passionate love to the Lord Jesus unless the Holy Spirit has imparted it to him. We may admire him, we may respect him and revere him, but we cannot love him. The only lover of the Lord Jesus is the Holy Ghost, and he sheds abroad the very love of God in our hearts. Whenever the Holy Ghost sees a chance of glorifying Jesus, he will take your heart, your nerves, your whole personality, and simply make you ablaze and glow the devotion to Jesus Christ. Goes on to say, you can't be my disciple unless you put Christ above all else. Putting him above your family, your life, your possessions. In the above passage, Luke 14, Jesus used the word hate in comparative terms. Some may ask, how can he tell us to hate our parents, siblings, children, spouse, when he has asked us to honor them and love them and care for them elsewhere? Here is to hate them means to love less than Jesus. The idea is that our love and loyalty to him are to be so great that when loyalty to him clashes with our loyalty to them, we put him first. Jesus lived in a culture where loyalty to family was considered your highest obligation, so to them it would seem like you hated them if you put Jesus first. The three requisitions to being a disciple is, as mentioned in Mark 8:34, is to deny self, take up your cross, and follow him. As I read this and as I think about that term, Christaholic, and just trying to take a quick drug, a quick fix, just trying to get to that nirvana, so to speak, and that happiness and that joy. And then when the tough times come, we bail. We leave. When Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you. And y'all, sometimes I don't want you to be discouraged, because sometimes life is just hard. And sometimes it's hard in such a way that you just feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. But Jesus is there with us. And why you're going through what you're going through, I don't know. And why we've gone through what we've gone through, I don't always know the answer. And sometimes we may not know the answer till we get to heaven. But to just bail and look for the next thing, look for the easy thing, look for the quickest way to get to our happiness or our joy. Well, what are we trying to get to? It's usually what satisfies the flesh. It's usually what brings us to a point of saying, well, now I'm happy, instead of denying ourselves so that we put to death the sins of this world. Self-denial does not put us in any kind of bondage. Rather, it liberates us from being slaves to the things called self. Self is nothing but our identity, our personality, or our ego. To deny self is to make a conscious choice to not give it the place of prominence and importance that it so craves. For Christ to be formed in us and his nature to reflect in our life, this thing called self must be shown the door, because there is room for only one to rule. It is either Christ or self. If you want to be my disciple, you must give up your right to yourself, to me. And once this is done, the remainder of your life will exhibit nothing but the evidence of this surrender. and you never need to be concerned again with what the future may hold for you. Whatever your circumstances may be, Jesus is totally sufficient. Those who find it silly to think that they have to give up the right to themselves in order to follow Christ can never experience the accompanying joy, peace, and satisfaction of having only Christ as our identity. It says, this is a quote, "If I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus, He literally becomes my way of life, my rule of conduct. Every action and every decision I make is made in the light of what would Jesus do." Take up your cross does not mean to carry burdens or to have problems. I once met a lady who told me her troublesome in-laws were the cross she had to bear. To take up the cross means to identify with Christ and His rejection, shame, suffering, and death. This goes on. It's pretty long. Like I said, I halfway read it, and I don't know what else I'm going to be reading there. You know, in my life, the pain and the hurt, sometimes I question God, why? Why am I going through this? But I have to be honest, I've had a very blessed life, and I've not had a lot of hurt and struggles the way that others in this room have had. You know, I've had a good parents. My parents went through divorce, but it didn't scar me for life or anything. You know, I had things that real personal things happened to me at different times, but overall, I've had a very blessed life. And but I see so many that are going through struggles and going through trials, and it's just like a very, very few grab hold of Jesus with everything that they have. And y'all, that's all we can do. You look at Job's life, and you look at all that he went through, but yet he would never curse. He would never deny and turn his back on the Lord. And you guys may have gone through some struggles, but I don't think anybody in this room has gone through what Job went through. You look at what Jesus went through. When He knew He was facing the cross, and it said that He even sweat drops of blood. And do you remember as He's sitting there praying, and He has His closest friends, His closest disciples there with Him. And what do? They fall asleep. And how many of us, when we're going through something and it's like our friends and our family and those closest to us may even be, so to speak, falling asleep. They don't even seem like they're as concerned for us as what we think they should be. But Jesus is there. Jesus is there. But if you're looking for a shortcut to happiness, you're looking for a shortcut to nirvana, you're looking for a shortcut to heaven. In this world, you will have trials. You will have tribulations. Don't be surprised by it. Don't be surprised by what you're going through. You get into God's will, not God's will, and all that. I don't want to get into all that this morning, but we know the Bible says that God does not tempt anyone with evil, but it's by your own evil desires that you're drawn away. And so if you're going through something this morning, if you're going through a struggle and it's because of sin in your life, you need to repent. You need to recognize the sin that's leading you astray. You need to recognize that this is causing all these problems in my life. It's not God, it's this sin. But then there's others of you maybe this morning, and you're walking and you're seeking the Lord, and there's no known sin that you're living in, that you're practicing, and you're going through the struggle and you're going through the trial. It's part of being a disciple. part of being a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't know if I totally messed this morning up or not. But I want to encourage you this morning, and I want you to know that you're loved. And you're loved by a church family, but more importantly than that, you're loved by a Father in heaven that can see what you're going through, that can see the aches, that can see the pain, that can see the hurt in your heart, in your life this morning. Y'all got any comments on this? This is different this morning. Anything to say? Anything to add to? A verse? It's kind of like Sunday night where I ask you to talk. I don't know. You know, the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right? I was thinking about that this week. I was struggling this week. And I, you know, my brother-in-law, Travis, he started going to the gym a few weeks ago and working out. And he told me this week that the place that he's working out, it has ab machines and it has all these different machines and stuff to strengthen his abs. And he was saying that since he's been doing this at work, he said his back's not hurting as bad and he's feeling a whole lot better. Well, why is that? It's because he's building the strength of his core. And you know, so you think about that, y'all, with resisting the devil, and that sometimes it hurts, right? Just like when you're lifting weights, sometimes it hurts. But what happens? The more you lift, the stronger you get. And the stronger you get, and the stronger you get. And I feel like that in my own life, and maybe it's not true in y'all's life, is sometimes I'm just a wimp. And sometimes I'm not strong enough to resist. And whose fault is it? It's nobody's fault but my own. Because I've not been exercising in the Word. I've not been exercising in prayer. I've not been exercising in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because maybe just like the Christaholic it described trying to take the easy way is that describes me sometimes in my life, is just trying to take the easy way, trying to get to the easy path, the easy goal. I don't know where y'all's at this morning. Maybe you're doing great, maybe you're doing fine, and maybe this was all just for me this morning. And I'm not gonna start the sermon, but if you're struggling, can I just encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. You look at Peter, you look at Paul and Silas and all these great men in the New Testament, thrown in jail, beat and tormented, and what did they do? They sang praises. They glorified God. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, in the midst of hurt, and they glorified God. And some of us, when life is good, we can't even belt out a praise. We can't even thank God. And then something happens, and what do? We pray, God, help me, help me, help me. He answers, and then what? I don't know, church. I just want us to be real. And I know there's real hurt and there's real pain this morning. Don't give up. Don't give up. Jesus loves you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And I don't have the answers why you're going through what you're going through. But you know when a light shines the brightest? When is it? When it's dark. Right? I got this light on my phone, and if I turn it on right now, you know, you can see it right there, but you can't even really see it on the ground. Why? Because it's bright in here. Last night I was walking out messing with my pool and something went and scurried next to my feet. I couldn't see what it was. I pulled out my phone and I hurried up and turned on that light because I've been having a lot of snakes lately. And I thought, is that a snake? And it lit everything up where I could see. You know, sometimes we're called the light of the world. We're going to shine the brightest in the darkest moments. That people's going to say, how? How can they be going through what they're going through and still love Jesus the way that they love Jesus? Still be a light in this dark world? Let's pray. Father, I don't know what's going on in everyone's life this morning. But I know that, Lord, I want to be your disciple. And my prayer is that everybody in this room wants to be your disciple. And Father, we know in being your disciple, it's taking up our cross and following you. We know that in being your disciple, that you become number one. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, that as we're sitting in this room amongst other believers, that where there's hurt and where there's pain, that we would just feel your presence and we would feel your love right now. And Father, that your peace that's beyond all understanding would engulf each and every one of us. Father, the worries and the struggles of this life and the people that's hurt us and the anxiety and the fear, that right now that we would just pray and lay it at your feet. Lord, may we not be fake. But may we be real this morning with what's hurting, what's bothering, questions that we have. And we bring them to you now. Cry out to you, and may you meet us here in this place. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If y'all would, please stand, and I'm going to have Mitzi and Kyle come up. And let's not get in a real big hurry right now. And let's just pray. You can pray where you're at. You can pray at these altars. You can sit down and pray. You can kneel down in your wherever. And let's just pray. And if your life is great and you're doing great, then I want you to begin to pray for those around you, those sitting in front of you, behind you, next to you, somewhere in this church, and just begin to pray for them. Or if there's a family member at home or someone that you know that needs the Lord, begin to pray for them right now. And let's be willing to do the work that it takes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Thirst again.
We're not quitting just quite yet, but you know, it's I just feel like I need to tell y'all, watch for cracks. You know, I've seen some marriages destroyed that I thought, how did that happen? But there was little cracks. There was a little bit of resentment and not talking to each other for a day or two. And then it became a week or two. And then all at once the house was destroyed. The home was destroyed. And it all began with little cracks. And y'all, the same thing can happen with the Lord, that we allow little things into our life and there's little cracks. And before long, we're not reading our Bible. And before long, we're not coming to church. And we don't want to come to church. And before long, we're not even praying anymore. And then before we know it, we're not even living for Jesus anymore. And it all begins with those little cracks. When my house was built, they dug down so deep and poured so much concrete that a guy just happened to be there that day that was a builder. And he said to the guy building my house, he said, do you realize how much concrete you're pouring? He said, yeah. I want to make sure he's got a firm foundation. And the other builder was acting like it was a waste of money. Like, why would you pour that much concrete? So, a few years ago, in our back door, the trim started separating and we started getting a little crack in our sheetrock. I called up the builder and told him what was going on. He said, "That's not your foundation. Your foundation's fine. Your foundation's firm." And he told me it had to do with heat and the expansion of the wood and everything else. But my foundation was in place. It was intact. It was where it needed to be. Y'all, I don't know about you, but I can be lazy and like to take shortcuts. If I get a headache, I take an aspirin. If I got a head cold, I take a Tylenol Sinus. I want immediate results. Instead of just stopping and going, it's probably that stupid diet Mountain Dew I've been drinking that's causing these headaches. I need to quit drinking that. Well, that's long term, right? That's what will resolve the problem. But I like my diet Mountain Dew, so I really don't want to quit drinking it, even though it's got basically formaldehyde in it and it's doing all. But I like it. My cholesterol's bad. I take a pill. Instead of eating the foods that I should eat. Why? Because I want the quick. I want the immediate. I don't want the pain. I'm not picking on y'all this morning because I'm telling you what I'm doing. You guys might be going, you're doing the same thing. Because I don't want to fix what's causing the problems. I just want results. Y'all, with our walk with Jesus, sometimes there's going to be trials. Sometimes there's going to be problems. And if it's sin, we can fix it. If it's just the struggles because Satan, we have an enemy that's coming against us. He's a roaring lion looking to whom he may devour. But there's no shortcut. Wide is a road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that goes to eternal life. Are you on that narrow path this morning? I hope so. Are you struggling this morning? It's okay. Jesus is there. Just don't give up. And watch for the cracks in your life. Please, please watch for the cracks in your life. I can't see it. Only you can see it. What's in your heart this morning? Are you miserable here this morning? Or did you not want to come this morning? To be honest, if you're not getting fed here and you're really seeking the Lord, then please come talk to me and I give you permission to go someplace else where you can get fed because your eternity is more important than anything else. I don't want any of you to leave, but if there's someone and you're dreading it and you're like, man, Pete says the same stories, I've heard the same things over and over, and you've tuned me out, then you need to go someplace where you can feel where you can get fed, okay? But I would ask you, are you hungry when you come in here? I mean, really hungry. I don't know what happened this morning, but I pray the Holy Spirit spoke to you, and I pray that you're encouraged this morning to just not give up. Seek the Lord. We'll be back this evening, 6:30, for Bible study. Y'all have a great afternoon.